We've been going through over the last 4 weeks a sermon series gearing up for the Reformation, the 500th celebration of the Reformation. So we started 4 weeks ago by talking about how we are saved through Christ alone. Then the 3 weeks that followed that took us through the three solas of Lutheranism: Scripture alone, faith alone, and grace alone. We come to the last in our sermon series today, and the theme will be glory to God alone. As I was searching and doing my scriptural study this week, I went through the usual text that talks about giving glory to God and all of these things. But I came across this text from Romans chapter 15 that I've chosen to use as our preaching text today. Romans 15 verses 5 and 6. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thus far the text. Now, besides the Gospels, I preached on the book of Romans more than any other book in the Scriptures, other than Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so it surprised me that I've never preached on this passage from Romans 15. Now, it could be that there are just so many other passages in Romans that are the usual fodder for Lutheran sermons. Things out of Romans 3 and 4 and that great Romans 7 where we get to not do what we're supposed to do and don't do what you're supposed to do and all those other do's. And then Romans 8 where it talks about how much greater the love of God is over all the things of the world. So maybe it's not surprising that I haven't preached on this passage, but I almost feel, as I come to you this morning, a little ashamed about it. Because it's such a great passage. I mean, did you hear what it said? That God himself would grant us unity so that we could glorify him together. He gathers us for worship. He gathers us to worship and to glorify him. So I'd like to answer two questions for you today. We'll divide the sermon in this way. Why do we glorify God? And then how do we glorify God? So let's start with the why. Let's get the easiest why out of the way. And there's four reasons. So let's take the first one, get that out of the way right away. Because he told you to. Worship him, right? How many times in the scriptures does it say, worship God, shout to the Lord, sing praises to his name? Go through the Psalms, try and get through three of them in a row without one of them telling you to worship God in some way or to clap your hands to him or sing to him or praise him. God tells us to worship him. He commands it. So that's the easiest one. Even all the way through the scriptures we get that. All the way up through Hebrews, right? Do not forget to meet together as some are in the habit of doing, right? We meet together to praise and glorify God. And God commands it. But the second reason that we glorify God, the why we glorify God, is because it belongs to him. It belongs to who he is. It's natural to his character and person that we should glorify him. Glory isn't something that is given to him from outside. But he's the source of it. And he shines forth with it, and we merely reflect it back to him like a good mirror. He has glory because he is glory. You and I see that in passages in the scriptures, right? Do you remember the episode where Moses went up on the mountain? He was going to receive the Ten Commandments, right? And he asked God that he could see God's presence, and God says, you don't really want to see my presence, and here's why. No one can see me and live, so that's not going to work out so well for you, okay? But here's what I'll do. I will have you hide in the cleft of a rock, in this little crevice in the rock, and I'll pass by, and as I do, I'll put my hand over so you're not dying because of my presence. And he does sort of a drive-by glory seeing, you know? The glory belongs to God. And it emanates from him in such a way that when he does that, Moses comes down from the mountain and he's got to wear a hood. He's got to wear a veil so nobody can see his face because he's just radiant, having been in the presence of God's glory. We glorify God because we reflect back to Him that which belongs to Him naturally. That which is His to begin with. So too with Christ. Christ goes up on the Mount of Transfiguration to be transformed, right? To metamorphose before them. But it isn't that Jesus suddenly got something that wasn't His up there on that mountain. Really, what happens with Jesus when He goes up on the mountain is the veil is pulled back a little. The screen is pulled apart, and you see Him for what He is, and His glory shines through. And what happens to Peter, James, and John? They're driven to the ground because they're in the presence of God. Glory belongs to God. Glory belongs to God the Father. Glory belongs to God the Son. Glory belongs to the Holy Spirit. And for that reason, we worship and we glorify them as a reflection back to that which belongs to them by nature. Glory is theirs. So God commands us to glorify, to worship. We glorify because it's what belongs to God. The third reason we glorify God is because He is what you just confessed He was in the creed. He is the creator, the maker of heaven and earth. Could you do it? Could you just go outside and decide you want a tree somewhere and say, let there be a tree? It doesn't work too well, does it? God can and does. God creates by His word. And because He is creator, because He is maker of heaven and earth, He deserves our worship and glorification. We glorify Him because He creates. In Revelation chapter 4, we get one of the greatest pictures of worship in heaven, right? Revelation 4 and 5, they go together, and it's a picture of worship in heaven. Revelation 4, though, as they're gathered around the throne, they're gathered around really what is God the Father. And the elders and the four living creatures, they're all singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And why? Worthy are you to receive glory because you made all that is. You brought into being everything that we see. All that is in this world, every leaf, every tree, every cloud, every mountain, you emanated from your mouth. And because of that, you deserve our worship and praise. Power and honor and glory belong to you because you are creator. You know, when I was growing up, I thought I understood that pretty well. I grew up in the flatlands, right? If you've ever been to the Midwest, those are the flatlands. If the little rise of a hill, we call those mountains, right? But out here you go, psh. But I thought I knew what creation looked like. And then in the summer of 1987, by God's grace, I had the privilege of being able to go and be a camp counselor in Woodland Park, Colorado. Right? And the first time I ascended the mountain there, where we took the kids up for a hiking trip, and you kind of come up and you're kind of walking through trees, so you don't really realize how high you're getting until you get right to the top, and it all clears out. And out in the distance, you see Pike's Peak from there. But you see everything else. That was really the first time that I was truly humbled by the magnitude of God's creation. By just the enormity of it. God is creator. And He's made you and I a really great world to live in. And it is completely amazing. And every week it seems something new is discovered, some new animal they didn't know about, some place nobody has ever walked, some cave they didn't realize existed with some bat that nobody had ever identified before. But all of that from your Creator God. Therefore, He deserves your worship. He deserves your glorification of Him. So we worship and glorify Him because He commands it. We worship and glorify Him because He leads us there by being Creator. We worship and glorify Him because it's what He deserves because of who He is. But the fourth reason is the one you probably guessed to begin with. The fourth reason we worship and glorify God is probably the one you started with because you're good Lutherans, right? And good Lutherans always start the same place, at the cross. And indeed, that's why we do worship. And that's where our worship truly proceeds from. And we worship our God and our Savior because He is our Savior. We worship God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit because they have accomplished our salvation. God the Father sending His Son, God the Son dying and rising for our salvation, God the Spirit working faith in our hearts. And we worship Him because of that. Why do you worship God? You worship Him because He saved you. And this is the second part of that picture of worship in heaven in Revelation. Revelation 4 talks about the Creator. Worship Him because He's made everything. Revelation 5 moves on from that. And it begins with this really interesting scene. Because there's this scroll that's rolled up and it's sealed. And nobody is found worthy to open the seal. And John, who's been given this vision, falls to the ground weeping. And I wept because no one was found worthy to open the seal. Then one of the elders said, wait, there's good news coming. You know. And then the Lamb comes forth. And the Lamb is found worthy to open the scroll. Why? Because with His blood He purchased men for God. And now the song changes. The song changes. And heaven sings a new song. Heaven glorifies God in a new way. Because it moves on from just that God is Creator to the place where you are worthy to receive power and honor and glory and worship and praise. Because you bought us. You purchased men from every tribe and people and language. And bring them together. And the really great thing, you ought to read through this sometime. I didn't think we should do it here this morning, but you ought to read through Revelation 4 and 5 sometime. The great thing is this song in Revelation 5 is this giant crescendo. Because it starts with the four living creatures and the elders, right? And then it moves on to that, and then God brings in all the angels to start singing, and the sound grows. And then the very last group to be added is every living thing ever given. Every living thing in heaven, on earth, and under the earth raises their voices up to say, praise be to God who has saved people by His Son, who has purchased men for God. And the very last line of Revelation 5, and then all the elders said, amen, and it goes quiet. Why do we worship God? Why do we gather to glorify Him? Because He's commanded it, because it belongs to Him based on who He is, because He's created us, and because He's saved us through His Son. That He thought enough of me. That guy I see in the mirror every morning, that He thought enough of him to send His Son to die. I am humbled by that, as I know you are. But that's how much God loves you. So then how do you glorify Him? Now you know why. But how do you glorify Him? You glorify Him by gathering like you are today. You glorify Him by showing the unity that He prays for here in Romans 15. He gives us unity, and we glorify Him by expressing that unity, by being in fellowship and in communion with one another. That's how we glorify Him, by being His people. The choir just saying that we are God's people who are unified, we're brought together by Him, and we glorify Him by expressing that unity in the things we do and the ways we gather. But you glorify Him also by appreciating, understanding, and giving thanks to Him for all He's done for you. You glorify Him by understanding yourself and knowing yourself as one who's forgiven. You glorify God by letting those things in the past be in the past. You glorify God by recognizing that everything that Jesus did on the cross was sufficient. Sometimes they talk about Catholic guilt. Lutherans have that too, don't we? Lutherans have guilt. And we know that Jesus has died for our sins. And we know that our sins are forgiven. And yet we seem to want to still carry that all with us. We drag it along. We confess that we come and we lay it upon Christ and we leave it there at the cross, and then on the way out of church we pick it back up again. At least a part of it. But we glorify God by understanding ourselves as completely forgiven. We glorify God by leaving it here. We glorify God by celebrating or rejoicing in the absolution which is absolutely ours. That we are forgiven. You glorify God that way. So you glorify God by the fact that you gather. You glorify God by the fact that you actually understand and leave your sins here. But you also glorify God by, now that you've been forgiven, you glorify God by forgiving others. You raise his name by forgiving others. What makes us different as a people than the people who are not Christian in the world is our ability to forgive without requiring anything in return. Because we know that the sin's been paid for. I don't need to wait and make sure somebody's truly sorry for their sin. Well, you sort of sound sorry, but I'm going to need a little more from you. Thank you very much. Instead, I forgive because I've been forgiven. And in that forgiveness extended, I point them to Christ, and therefore I glorify him. In that forgiveness extended, I show before them God's grace, and in that God is glorified. Maybe one final way of how we glorify God is just in our daily living. In the way we go about our days, and the choices we make, and the choices we don't make. And the way we choose to conduct ourselves. And the way we love those around us. And the way we care for those around us. And the way we conduct our own lives. Glory belongs to God alone. I've given you the four reasons why. Glory belongs to God alone. And now you and I know how we can live that out. To him be the glory, now and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.